Thanks for downloading the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Coming up in this edition, Pulse One's Milo and Rosie join us to talk about their week. Talk Radio's Julia Hartley Brewer is here, and she's not afraid to say what she thinks about the gender pay gap, positive discrimination in the selection of guests on air, and the state of speech radio in the UK. Stay with us for that. Then James Cridland considers whether live radio is actually the future of decent radio. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments this week, the arrival of Piccadilly and BBC Wiltshire Sound and the departure of Chris Tarrant from Capital.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
But first, before all that, Radio Today's Roy Martin is here and on the line from Bradford of all places. Some radio friends. It's Danny and Rosie from Pulse One, everyone.
Hello.
Why did you laugh when you said the word friends?
Well, it says friends here. Hiya, how are you?
We're good. In sunny Bradford.
Which is absolutely peeing it down, as it always is. What are we on? 4th of April.
You've just come off the air. How was the show this morning?
Terrible.
Oh, weak at best.
Terrible. Turned up on time. In fact, no, I didn't even turn up on time today.
You didn't today?
I didn't turn up on time. My junction was shut on the M62, so I had a wonderful diversion, I think, via Roy's house in Bournemouth. Mm. I played the ELO before the news because the adverts didn't fire at 5 to 6.
But all in all, it was a great show.
Fabulous show.
A great show.
Excellent. Well, Roy's here as well. We're going to talk about some things that are apparently somewhere in the background. We're going to talk about stuff that's been in the news this week, and then we're going to play a little quiz as well. It's the Geek Quiz. I was the winner last week with Matt and Polly, so we're going to see whether Roy can beat me this week. I think that's the plan.
Lovely.
I'm just waiting for my introduction.
Oh, yeah, Roy Martin is here, the executive president or something of Radio Today. And what, you've been listening to United DJs this week, were you, Mr. Roy?
I haven't been listening to Danny and Milo. I thought the brief was to get professionals on this bit of the show.
Well, it's Danny and Rosie. Oh, well, technically, it's the Milo and Rosie show. So I've
but
got
Danny and Milo.
You're listening to the Milo and Rosie show.
It's Rosie and Jim, isn't
Danny
it?
Danny and Milo sounds like, what was it on telly? The man and his dog.
Danny and Milo.
That's it. So it's like a bloke called Danny and then his dog Milo. But no. Anyway, we'll change the name for you, but thanks.
Just for you, we'll be called the Danny and Milo show today.
Yeah.
Thanks, David.
Funny enough, the Danny and Milo show was a lot better than the Milo and Rosie show.
Anyway, Roy's been listening to United DJs and Mike Reed. How was he?
Mike Reed was all right. I mean, he screwed up the opening link, but apart from that, it's been uphill ever since. And it sounds all right. I said in my ramble this week that it's full of enthusiasm, and I obviously haven't listened to Danny and Milo. Because the enthusiasm coming out of Bradford this morning. Sorry, Rosie.
It's all right, mate. We're off our faces on coffee. That's it.
That's it. And you're just being an ass now.
Let's have a listen to a bit of Mike Reed then.
Legendary music brought to you by Legendary Voices. We are UDJ. United DJs with Mike Reed.
Good morning, this is United DJs. 8 former Radio 1 DJs, 8 former Capital DJs, 12 former Radio Luxembourg DJs and Eddie Grant, and all our chums over in Canada as well. It's the new radio revolution. In 1919, Charlie Chaplin, Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford formed United Artists to give them creative control over their films. United DJs have done the same to take back creative control over the music. Singers, musicians, songwriters, music lovers and radio listeners, we're on your side. We are United DJs. Great music around the world.
I don't know why you didn't just say welcome to United DJs. That would have probably done the job just as well, wouldn't it? Apparently it's got lots of enthusiasm though, so that's all good. There was a new show up against your final hour on Breakfast in Bradford this week as well. Stephanie Hurst, you might have heard her.
Really?
There was, yay!
Yeah, we were flicking over.
We're very proud of our Steph.
You got her on pre-fade, have you? Yeah.
We had her on pre-fade yesterday because obviously the geek in me needs to listen to any new show's opening link.
And the friend as well. We want to support her. And also, when she does her link, what we do is we learn, we write it down, and then we repeat it on our show.
The next link.
We just cross out BBC Radio Leeds for Pulse One.
And then she takes a percentage of what they pay you. Yeah,
that's it. 80%. 80%. But no, she's sounding great, and obviously she's been on the BBC, and she's like she said, the BBC have been amazing. But
considering she's
been on every day now,
off though for 4 years, she was saying, you know, it's just so nice to have her back on, and also nice to hear her Hurstyisms as well.
Yeah,
you know, the inner
all
geek
coming
out as well.
All
I love
coming
it.
Through. So it's something nice for us to listen to on his way home from work now
exactly.
as well, which is
nice. But we always listen to Griffo on Pulse One. So we've got to put that in just in case.
Oh, you corporate monkey.
And she was telling Nick Ahad on Monday on Radio Leeds about where the name for the show came from.
It's the Stephanie Hirsch Show. How long did you spend coming up with that name?
We sat down, we came up with a load of different words to try and explain what the show's going to be like and everything like that. And I just went, just call it Stephanie Hirsch Show. It's really simple, isn't it? And we went, yeah, there is a little bit of a thing behind me calling it the Stephanie Hirsch Show. Because in previous stations, I've always had a kind of show name.
Right.
But when you leave, the radio stations own it.
Oh, right.
They go,
okay.
You can't take that.
Hang on, they can own Stephanie Hirsch?
No, they can't.
Oh, so you get to keep that.
So I get to keep it.
Right.
Because, like, three times I've lost my identity. And I'm like, no one's having it now. I'm calling it Mike. Because I always it was like Daily Dose or there was other ones.
Oh, shh.
I'm not calling it that. They can call it that. Well, that's what I did, isn't it, for years? It's called Stephanie Usher. And, I've signed a contract.
Brilliant.
Oops.
Okay.
So I've had 4 years off the radio. I do Saturday nights on our sister station, BBC Radio Manchester. But they've managed to lure me back to Daily Radio again.
And great it is as well. And we like the jingles, don't we, Roy?
The jingles are obviously the best bit. Sorry, Steph.
They are great. I had a very good geek off. She sent me some of the jingles before. Yeah. Obviously, they went out on air and we were having a listen. And from my anorak point of view, it's got the element of some of her old stuff in there.
That's
as well.
It.
And
it stinks
brought back
of Stephanie Hirsch.
So many memories for me and listening as a kid to all that imaging and production. And it even gets some old school jingles in as well. And Peter Dixon on the voice as well.
Yes.
Hello.
One of our big stories on Radio Today this week, actually, top trending, was Lynn Bowles getting a Land Rover off of Chris Evans on her last day. It's not a bad leaving gift. Roy, what's the best thing a colleague's bought for you? Bear in mind, I'm your colleague.
What did you buy me? You haven't bought me anything, have you? No, I got a CD full of audio from people saying goodbye, and it was quite emotional. And I've still got
it. Yeah, but they changed the name. Concert. To whoever's leaving, they changed the name, and they just put say goodbye.
Oh.
Me and Milo do... We do Christmas presents for each other each year, and we try and outdo it ourselves like previous years. So Milo always buys me like impractical things. Like one year you bought me inflatable unicorn.
No, the year before that was the best. I bought her a set of bagpipes.
Bagpipes.
And the
awful stuff.
But
awful thing.
Honestly, we had the best fun in working out how to play the bagpipes.
On the show. Probably the worst show we've ever done sound-wise, but still we did it.
It was an 8-minute link on bagpipes.
And Milo's always got this claim to fame as well. I'll let you do it because it's your best claim to fame when you're in Greg's.
So Rosie got me a signed photo of a person, and the reasoning behind it, I was in a Greg's in London. In front of me was a gentleman called Dave Benson Phillips. I don't know if you are aware of who this gentleman is, Roy and Stu. Yeah. Get your own back, man.
Wasn't he something to do with Splash FM in Worthing or something?
Was he?
Get your own back.
I think so. Yeah. Well, after his children's TV career.
Yeah.
That's news to me. I've learnt something by coming on this podcast.
And beforehand, you said, I will learn nothing from this.
That's right.
You actually said those words.
And obviously, he's there in Greg's. Yeah, I did order exactly the same as what he did, which I think was a corned beef pasty and a cheese. It was either a cheese and onion one, or I mean, let's not get into discrepancies. But I ordered.
It was Dave Benson Phillips, for crying out loud.
I ordered the same, so Rosie got me an actual signed photograph from Dave Benson Phillips saying, "Milo, stop following me and Greg's."
Go to his website and you pay money, you can get him to sign anything.
Yep.
It turns out,
including parts of your anatomy, if you wish, Roy.
But of course, I must say, and I know I'm bigging myself up now, but I must say,
Benson Phillips will fit on it.
My Christmas present for Christmas 2017 outdid the Dave Benson Phillips thing.
This year, the weather one. Well, we had a snoop from our boss, Tony McKenzie. You may know him if you've worked in the radio industry before. Here he is.
Showers.
Nah, hardly so. This is an old clip of him here.
Showers.
From Radio City 96.7. Oh, it might have been on the AM days, that. But.
Showers.
We once went through a snoop when we were sat down. Hirsty was involved in this snoop as well, so we were all sat round. We went through an hour of the show. He ripped us to shreds. And the one positive that he had about the show...
And that we took out of this.
We took out at the end of it.
We went out smiling.
He said, you absolutely nailed that weather. the weather. You just delivered it perfectly. Right over the jingle. Yeah. You gave everyone what they needed to know, and it was just great.
Showers.
So for Christmas 2017, I of course did some digging, called upon my celebrity showbiz contacts, which I have none of, and got Milo a signed Michael Fish.
Yep.
Picture.
And on it, in very, very... Can I swear on this?
No.
I'll use the word shonky.
That'll do.
In shonky writing on
that's
that photograph.
That's Michael Fisher's writing.
I bet it's not great, is it? It looks like a spider ran
across the way.
Andy Flyde, you tried flirting with Rosie on Twitter, but that's a story for a different podcast. And he signed it and he put, can you look into a girl's eyes and tell her the weather?
It got a bit weird. But anyway, so there you go. So we do buy each other gifts.
And they are both up on display in my downstairs bathroom next to my Dyson hand dryer and my toilet in Castleford.
In your face, Chris Evans.
Who wants
Dyson
a Land Rover?
Hand dryer.
Yeah, right. If you've ever been to the toilets on the M62, there's a junction, a services just before Junction 25, Brighouse. And I swear those toilets are classier than Milo's downstairs toilet. Because he's got towels, but he's got show towels and you can't touch his towels.
Don't touch my towels.
Don't touch
Use
his towels.
The hand dryer.
He's actually invested in a Dyson hand dryer.
Yeah.
And it looks as ridiculous as it sounds.
Yeah, it's on my orange wall next to my soap dispenser.
At least you don't have to wash the towels every week.
No, that's the thing. But once my mate Charlie did wipe his arse on one of the towels.
That's a whole different podcast
because we'd been drinking.
Okay, we've got serious stuff coming up on this podcast, by the way. One of your colleagues from Wireless Group, actually.
That was serious.
Yeah, I know. Julia Hartley Brewer. I've been talking to her this week. She's going to be on the podcast next.
Julia Hartley Brewer. Is she on Virgin? No, Talk Radio, isn't she? Talk Radio, Julie. Julia, bless her.
Ones, yeah. So we're talking to her about the gender pay gap, amongst other things. Obviously, there's no gender pay gap between you two, so that's fine. We don't need to even go there. Roy, student radio conference this week.
Indeed, yeah. We have our reporters live at the scene. We'll be tweeting, we'll be Instagramming. It's all on radiotodaylive.com if you're interested in what's going on at the SRA conference in Norwich.
Norwich?
Yes.
Excellent.
Is it Norwich?
It's in Norwich, yes.
I thought you were going to ask me what else is coming up.
What else is coming up, Roy?
Oh, well, funny you should ask. Radio Audio Week is next month. Which encompasses the Radio Centre Tuning In Conference, the British Podcast Awards, the Radio Festival, WTF, and Real World's 30 Under 30 launch.
Should we play our little game then? See who's the biggest geek of the week this week.
Have you got a jingle?
We've got no jingles. We can't afford production.
You need a jingle.
We can't afford production.
You can. Get Real World on it.
Yeah.
If our mate Paul Holmes is listening, Paul.
Paul, do him a jingle.
Do him a jingle.
Come on, Ant.
Ant,
come on.
Anthony Gay, he'll help you out because Anthony gave me my first job on Radio Air.
And he regrets it,
though. He regrets it to this day.
Ever since.
It's his fault, yeah.
So he will do nothing for you, Milo. Right, we've got some questions for you.
Geek questions. So this is how it's going to work. You're going to ask us the questions. We're going to shout either Stu or Roy. First one to shout gets to answer the question, and it's the first to get probably two right because you've got three questions for us.
What a fantastic game.
Yes.
Yeah.
We should play this on our show.
We probably will tomorrow.
Right. So the first question, it does involve our mentor and big inspiration to the Milo and Rosie show. So Stephanie Hurst.
Yep.
It involves Stephanie. What year was Hursty's Daily Dose formed?
Stew.
The spotlight, my dear, is on you.
2003.
Correct.
Well done,
January 2003.
Well done, Stew. Okay.
January 2003.
I've got a question for your faces. What's the name of the radio station in Hull that Tim Gibson and friends founded in 2007?
Stu.
Go for it, my friend.
KCFM.
Wrong, it was Viking FM. Yeah. Sorry, you're out, mate. Yeah. Sorry.
It was KCFM.
It was KC. And I'm pulling your leg.
As a little extra point, what was the first thing that Al Dupree said off the back of my first ever overnight jocking session on my own? What were the first words that he said?
On the air.
On the air.
And it's not that was shit.
After my show, for the first time ever when I was trying to do the show on my own.
Gosh, she's tall.
No, it was... Oh, bless.
Oh no!
I'll never forget.
No. Final one. Do you want to go technology geek?
Yeah, let's go technology geek. Come on, Roy, we'll give you a chance.
Go on then, I need a
okay.
point.
Right, come on,
Milo
then.
Loved this, by the way. He loves this.
I love this question. And do you know what? I'm going to give 2 points.
What?
I am changing your damn rules, right? And you can have 2 points if you get this, right?
Just chucking them away willy-nilly here, yeah? We ain't got points coming out of our ears.
What is the current processor used to process our DAB feed here at Pulse One Towers?
I don't understand that question. That sounds like Spanish to me.
Go on, Roy. I'll let you go for that one.
No idea.
Yeah, Roy.
It's probably one of the
Come on, Roy.
Ones.
Come on, Roy.
Optimod.
Don't know.
Well, take a guess, and we'll guess until you're right.
A DB Xbox.
Right, right. No, I need model numbers as well, gentlemen.
286S.
Is it chuff? Try again.
I don't even know what this means. This sounds like knockoff Sega Mega Drives in my head.
Now, the reason... Right, I'll tell you for why I asked that question. The main processor, so FM, the processors...
Don't look at me like I'm going to join in
processors on this. 102.5 and 97.5. Yeah. That's the Omnia 9, which is wonderful. The reason why I asked about the DAB feed, it's because it's one of the old retro analog Optimods which still do it. And if you want to Google it, you can have a look. The Optimod 8101B.
Oh, I'm so glad we sorted that.
There you go. And it sounds ace if you want to listen to the online feed. Nice Optimod there.
Yep.
Anyway... None of you got that right, so I've won that round. See
I don't think anyone cared.
So it's 2 points to Danny and 2 to me and none to Roy. That sounds fair.
That'll do.
Stu wins again this week.
I will make Danny geek of the week.
Thank you.
He is every week. That is like his crown.
Well done, Danny.
I love you. Thank you very much.
Small ripple of applause.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on. What's on the show tomorrow? Anything worth listening to?
We have, bless him, a little 2-year-old called James who is very excited because he's a big CBeebies and Bing fan. And we've got tickets to see Bing if you have kids under probably 3.
And
you'll understand who that is.
And we've got £500,000 to give away and a brand new Range Rover as well as a cruise, all to one person that's listening between 6 and 10 tomorrow. How about them apples?
You could get sued for that.
No, I couldn't. No, we're giving them all away tomorrow. All on our show tomorrow, provided by Rosie's dad is the prize.
But thank you for having us, chaps.
Thank you, bye.
See you later. Lovely to talk to you as always.
Love the show.
Bye,
gents. Love the show.
All right, Steve.
Visual Radio, smarter and cheaper. Virtual Director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It is the Radio Today programme and delighted to say joining us this week, Julia Hartley-Brewer from Talk Radio, ex of LBC and a newspaper journalist for many years before that. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Good morning, Stuart.
The reason I wanted to get you on is the BBC this week have announced they're going for this target of getting all of their guests across many TV and radio programmes to be a 50-50 split of men versus women. And I saw you had some quite prominent views about this, shall we say.
How unlike me. Totally out of character.
Shock, horror. How do you go about picking guests for your shows? It's certainly not based on their anatomy.
The first thing I ask a potential guest is not whether they do or don't have fallopian tubes. I've never found that to be remotely relevant, unless it's an item about having fallopian tubes. I tend to think, who's a really good expert on this? Who's someone who really knows their stuff? Or someone who's a really good talker who knows their stuff? And I invite those people on accordingly. I certainly don't look at any point whether or not we have a male-female bias in any particular direction. If we ended up with all female guests one day or all male guests, I would consider that to be totally and utterly irrelevant.
But the danger of doing that, I guess, is that the kind of people you're talking to, people in power predominantly, mm-hmm. tend to be men. We know in politics there's
it's outrageous and shocking, isn't it? It's outrageous. These horrible, horrible men who are holding all these women back. But it's just so patronising, this idea that you need to have this balance. Like, if it just so happens that the leading people on a particular topic are men, then, you know, if I'm going to interview a Formula One driver, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to find a woman Formula One driver, am I? There'll be women working in that field. But I just find it extraordinary that this is the thing that we're focusing on. Why don't we just say, I'm going to have an equal number of brunettes and blondes, or an equal number of fat or thin people, or short or tall people, or people from the north and people from the south? Why is it relevant? If you were talking to someone who's an expert, then you want to have someone who's an expert. It doesn't matter whether they're a man or a woman. I wouldn't seek out a man specifically, but neither would I seek out a woman specifically.
So why do you think the BBC is doing it? Is it to pander to those people who are demanding equality?
It's two things. It's virtue signalling. Aren't we good? Aren't we nice? And the other thing is, it's because they actually believe this stuff, because they are completely imbued in this identity politics of the left, and which is utterly bizarre. This constantly seeing anyone entirely by their gender, their religion, their skin colour, as opposed to judging people as individuals. Is this the best person for the job? Now, absolutely, over the years, as a female political editor, I think I was the third ever female political editor of a national newspaper, and the only one of, I think, one at the time, and then briefly there were two female political editors, I think, with Gabby Hinsliff, who's at the Observer at the time. We were highly unusual as political journalists, being senior women, and probably weirdly got invited onto more panel shows in the BBC because of that. But the reality is, it has been the case over the years that experts have always been men, because there weren't very many women who were at the front line. And now there are more and more women. By osmosis, women are more likely to be appearing on the radio or on TV screens, giving their expert opinion, being commentators. But there doesn't have to be a formal announcement about it. And the main reason there shouldn't be is it undermines the women who are experts. Because now when I listen to the radio or watch a BBC news programme and they bring on a female expert, I won't be sitting there thinking, well, she must be jolly good because she's the expert they've chosen to invite on of all the experts. I'll be thinking, oh, is she the woman who answered the phone because there was no one else? How good are her credentials? Any sort of positive discrimination like this, it just undermines the people who are being positively discriminated.
I suppose the BBC would say, as a high-profile media organisation, we're setting an example for young girls growing up that you can be the top of your field and you can be the best expert in the country that
yes.
we want to talk
and
to.
And there are plenty of female experts in pretty much every field. Pretty much every field. But there'll be women they can talk to, and they can make sure they spread the net wide and not just use the same old talking heads. Absolutely. But do we really think that young girls... I've got an 11-year-old daughter. Do you really saying that my young daughter is not seeing enough female role models? She's got a female prime minister, there are female scientists on the television, there are explorers, and like, are we really suggesting that young girls aren't seeing good female role models on our TV screens? I think that's an absolute nonsense.
I'm guessing your views on gender pay are similar. This week this week we've seen Global Radio, your former employer, reveal rather quietly just before the Easter break that their gender pay gap is 34.5%, which is kind of right up there with the Telegraph at the top end of the list of the media with the biggest gaps. We had this big hoo-ha a few months ago when the BBC announced it was 10%, and everybody thought that was outrageous. Is it just as outrageous?
No, Stuart, everybody in your world thought it was outrageous. Everyone in the outside normal world didn't blink an eye about this, because they know it's absolute nonsense to be comparing average pay. Look, I'm not going to comment on any specific radio station, my own or anything, because I think these figures are ridiculous. And when you're getting the big banks and other big corporations who are making comparisons, it is the case that in a number of industries there are more senior men than there are senior women. Therefore, they're going to be being paid more than the junior women. I think that goes without saying. The issue is, are women being prevented in any way from getting to those top jobs? Are men being prevented in any way from doing the lower tier jobs? And if they are, how are they being prevented, and what can we do about it? But the idea of comparing average pay, including sort of a mid-ranking reporter with the cleaner, with the chief executive of a company, and saying that has any meaningful message to give out about gender pay differences in this country, just utterly ridiculous. And everyone in the real world knows that.
Well, you talked about not being held back from those opportunities. Obviously, you're doing the breakfast show now on Talk Radio. You're one of only two, I think, national solo female breakfast hosts. You and Dottie on One Extra. I think I've totted those up right. So you're right, you are being given the opportunity. And I don't know whether you know, and whether you're even bothered, whether you would be paid the same as your predecessor as a man was getting for that same job.
But anyone who comes into a job like this, this isn't the same as being a particular tier accountant or bank clerk, where there's a clear route through these jobs and there are clear direct comparisons. Every time you go to a job, you're coming there with, in this field, you're coming there with your own individual experience, your own individual ability and the particular circumstances. So I have no idea, and I don't consider it to be particularly relevant whether I'm paid more or less.
In terms of the way speech radio is going, obviously we know from your shows you've got fairly outspoken views on things. LBC has people like Nigel Farage, Jacob Rees-Mogg just announced this week he's getting a regular slot on there. James O'Brien on the opposite side of the political spectrum does his monologues every day. On talk radio, you've got George Galloway. Is this the new talk radio? I mean, when you started at LBC, what, 7 years ago, it's perhaps shifted.
Old, thanks.
It's perhaps shifted a little bit in terms of how outspoken people can be on the radio now.
I think it's absolutely wonderful, and especially as an antidote to the BBC. I've been a big fan of the BBC for many years, but I'm really happy to have the BBC in existence and have neutral reporting without people giving their political views. But the reality is the BBC isn't neutral anymore. The BBC is completely and utterly populated by Ramonas. It's completely populated by this sort of left-wing gender identity politics obsessed group of people, and I just don't think they are representative of ordinary people in Britain. Not of left and right. They're just not representative of anyone, but sort of people who live in Islington and Hampstead in North London. And I think it's really refreshing that we've got choice for people on the radio. They've got different voices they can hear. People being giving opinion, but more importantly, people being honest about giving their opinion. When I listen to the Today programme, I can hear the bias in the question. I can tell you the political point of view and the stance on particular issues of virtually every presenter on the BBC. It's really blatant and obvious. And they act as if their point of view is sort of the only point of view, the only acceptable, reasonable point of view, completely and utterly just sort of dispelling any idea that anyone else's point of view is valid or even perhaps a majority point of view on issues, say, whether it's about Brexit or about immigration or about benefit reform or all of the other big controversial issues that have been in the news in recent years. I love the fact that all the media organisations that are now rivals with the BBC, including us at Talk Radio, we're providing an antidote to that. We're providing honest debate, honest comment, where people can challenge and we're being open about our views and not pretending to be neutral when we're not neutral, because we're not required to be neutral.
I feel it's perhaps the changing world where politics is more clear-cut than it perhaps was a few years ago, in that we have got a more right-wing, right-hand side of politics and the more left-wing, left-hand side of politics. And is that bias not in the kind of ear of the listener? Because if you've got strong views on one particular issue, you're going to think the presenter is on the opposite side because they're not perhaps giving you the opinion that you want to hear. I've been in the BBC where you get text messages in and for everyone you get saying this is a mouthpiece for the government, you get one saying you're peddling Corbyn's lies.
Yes. I think within the social media world, which is controlled by a very small percentage of people, Twitter and the like, that is not representative of the vast majority of people in this country. And we know that elections are won by the centre ground. And again, I'm constantly told you're a right wing, you're a Tory. I mean, I grew up in a Labour voting family. I voted for four different political parties in the last 15 years or so. I don't consider that any of the political parties at the current time represent my political views. I'll be called, oh, you're right wing because you're not a Corbynista. I mean, it is absurd, this moving to the extremes on the left and the right. The vast majority of people in Britain, the vast majority of people listening to this, people listening to talk radio, any other station, are far more close to the centre ground. They agree on far more than they disagree. I think our politics is doing a disservice, but at least radio stations like mine are actually talking about it and exposing it and debating these issues openly.
A couple of months in now to your no-nonsense breakfast show. You enjoying the early mornings?
Do you know, I've actually been amazed by how easy it is to get up at 10 to 5 in the morning. I think my husband's not enjoying it quite as much as me. I've got to be honest. And again, we talked about the gender pay gap and all that differently and women experts. The only thing that would have put me off doing the job was not seeing my 11-year-old daughter in the mornings before she goes to school, which is something I really miss. And seriously, very seriously considered turning the job down, not because I didn't think I could do it, but because I value being a mum and I wanted to be with my daughter in the mornings. And interestingly, I don't think there are many men who would think about turning down an opportunity like that because they wanted to be with their child. Perhaps there, I don't know, maybe there are differences between men and women. Who knew?
Shock horror. And obviously, since you've been at Talk Radio, it's had a change of owner. Have you noticed anything different since News UK took over?
What's the key difference? You get more
promotion in the Sun for a start every day, don't you?
We get more promotion in the Sun. The key difference, of course, is that we are going to be moving to the News UK building later this year, and we've got some very exciting, fabulous new studios being built, and we're all very excited about that. And we're going to be taking on the current big boys in the radio market, and not just gunning for LBC 5 Live. I'm gunning for Today programme listeners, who I'm constantly getting tweets from people who say they are just so bored with these sort of, just say, gender identity politics and the political correctness and the Ramona side of Radio 4, and they're desperate for a bit of fresh air and a bit of free thinking, and that's what we're offering to people.
And after, and let's say it again, 7 years of doing it makes it seem like a long time. Do you see yourself now as a radio presenter, radio broadcaster, or do you still see yourself as a journalist who just happens to be on the radio?
I always see myself as a journalist. I started out, you know, the cub reporter on the local paper in the East End of London, and worked myself way up as a diary reporter, news reporter. I've done all the doorsteps. I've done the court reporting and the like. I've been at the sharp end. I think fundamentally in my heart of heart with my still now pretty rubbish shorthand, but I've still got it. I'll still be a journalist at heart rather than you. People often tweet me saying, oh, you're a talking, you know, you're a radio personality, or even worse, you're a celebrity, and compare me with the likes of Katie Hopkins. No, I'm a jobbing hack who has managed somehow to get paid to do what I'd be doing anyway. I would sit and yap about the news for 3 hours every morning anyway, but someone thought it was a good idea to put me on the radio doing it.
And a final plug for your show. If anybody listening to this in the industry hasn't heard it, why should they pick yours over
Oh, well, because it's so lively. We are an antidote to the dry PC boredom that is the Today programme these days. We have all the top guests. We have every single day we will be having the top guests that you'd expect to hear talking about the biggest topics. The cabinet ministers, the shadow cabinet ministers, the top experts, male or female, regardless of their fallopian tube ownership or not. And we're tackling all the big issues that people are talking about. It's an antidote to what you've been hearing. It is. One day, you never know, it might be award-winning radio. I've never won an award yet, but it could be. But you can find us on DAB, find us online on our website. You can find us through our app. And if you haven't got a DAB radio, why not?
Thanks, Julia. It's lovely to talk to you, and thanks for talking to Radio Today.
Thank you very much, dear.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Well, David Lloyd's radio moments are to come before the end of the podcast still. Before that, some musings from James Cridland on polishing your on-air act.
At james.crid.land and in your favourite podcast app, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, live radio is lazy radio. There's nothing more enjoyable than doing live radio. There's the adrenaline of knowing that what you're saying is going straight into your listeners' ears. No filter, no second chances. If you fluff a little, you just got to plough on regardless. And there's a thrill, if you can do it, of off-air monitoring in your headphones, the effect of the Optimod in your voice, particularly the crackle and distortion of AM. After the microphone processor and the transmission chain, you sound awesome. Live radio is almost like Russian roulette. You're never quite sure whether the caller is going to drop an F-bomb, or whether you're going to get the next segue just right, or whether the sports journos have slipped in Everton player Gylfi Sigurdsson for a laugh. It's all seat-of-the-pants stuff. A fluff here, a mispressed button there, a presenter break that could have been better if you'd had another go. It's all just fine. It's live radio. And as we're told, live radio is what makes radio great. Except... do you truly believe that every time you open your mouth and talk, you get everything perfect? Every single time? or could you benefit from a little post-production? If you could have made that segue astonishingly good by pre-recording it and properly beat-matching the songs, for example, why didn't you? Would that dull interview with the man from the council have been made slightly better if you'd pre-recorded it first and edited out his ums and his ers and that crappy question you asked that didn't really go anywhere? Was your show enhanced with you saying, "Air the trebles next," just so that you could hit the vocals? Or could you have just slid the song back 2 seconds in play-out? And why is it that The Daily, for example, sounds so much better than your morning news programme? Is it because it's post-produced to make it sound great? Why are you content to give your listener second best? Because radio is all about being real and relevant to your audience. So, of course, I'm not encouraging you to voice track shows more than 12 hours in advance. How can you know what'll happen or be able to judge the mood? And to be clear, I'm wanting you to be in the studio while your show is on, because I do want you to be able to be live if you need to be. But I'm also encouraging you to think about how much really needs to be live. If you had to justify every live element you wanted to do, what reasons would you give? Listeners have so many choices these days. A slickly pre-produced programme or podcast will always sound better than leaving it up to luck. And of course, if you pre-record segments, you can do other things with them on other platforms, where live and linear is even less relevant than it is now. Practicing, pre-recording, editing, polishing, and preparing great audio obviously takes time. It's tempting just to do it all live. But as I hope I've demonstrated, live radio is lazy radio. At least it can be. Does your audience deserve better? You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. Radio
Moments. This week in 1974 saw the early commercial radio network take another giant step forward. The target for the fifth station in the UK was Manchester.
Another nice day in Manchester, and this, for the first time on 261 Medium Wave, 97 VHF Stereo, is Greater Manchester Independent Radio. It's 5 a.m, and here's Richard Hemingway with Piccadilly News.
And the IBA stuck their noses in, you know, unbelievably, looking back. The idea that they could actually tell you whether you could call it Piccadilly or not. And they eventually, after great humming and hawing, decided that it would be acceptable to call it Piccadilly. But also the question of doubt was whether it really was Manchester or whether it was London. You know, and anybody based in London, as the IBA was, would have thought, well, it was a London name, you know. But anybody's in Manchester, they're probably scarcely aware that there is a Piccadilly in London. Their Piccadilly is Piccadilly Gardens and Piccadilly running up to the railway station in Manchester.
My radio station in Warrington was Piccadilly in Manchester, and it was so exciting because it was all new and young, and it was just very hip. And the first thing they did was they did roadshows everywhere around the northwest, and they did one from the window of a shop in Bridge Street in Warrington, and Pete Baker was the DJ, and I went to see him, and he played Bright Eyes. When it was a hit.
That's the Beach Boys. What better start to the programme? 1966, Piccadilly Magic. That's what we call our oldies here. You'll get to know us. And our funny little habits. And that's called Good Vibrations. Sincerely, though, I'd like to say from everyone that's anything to do with Piccadilly Radio, a more enthusiastic bunch you've yet to meet. And we hope that enthusiasm...
The start of Piccadilly Radio this week in 1974, and how eerie it was to hear the word magic there mentioned in the early moments. The station kicked off with a staff of 70, including 9 journalists, and a plan for 3 more, and £250,000 was booked in advertising revenue. Amongst the voices you heard there was Chris Evans, of course, reflecting on the impact of the station on his radio career. And Chris is 52 years old this week. Happy birthday, Chris. And in 1993, this same week, he hosted his last show on London's BBC local station, then GLR.
Minute. Well, look, he's still making the most of every single minute. It's Tony Blackburn, and here he is now. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Hello, Chris. Sensational to be with you.
This is a great honour for us to have you on here. We had to actually go through the legal contractual obligations to sort you out, because I know
you're... About 4 or 5 lawyers, I think.
You're not allowed on any other station apart from Capital Gold.
Capital Gold.
But because it's our last show and everybody knows, you know, how what I think about you, they've let you on the show here. And that's all.
So you're having fun there.
We're having lots of fun, aren't we, gang? Yeah. So, Tony, do you still find it all fun?
Fun? Oh, I love it. Absolutely. I just always love broadcasting. You know, I just adore it.
Now, you said to me when we met recently, yeah. You said, you know, but the thing is, Chris, I could be out of a job. And the thing is, you'll never be out of a job.
Chris Evans with Tony Blackburn on Chris Evans's last GLR show. Those two are clearly breakfast legends, as is this chap who ruled London until this week, 14 years ago.
Hot chocolate, Errol Brown, my old mate, the singing Maltese, the Capital Friday morning. Been there, done that. This week we started on Monday morning, which was the producer's joke. We were trying to find somebody who caught a 6-pound, 8-ounce chub. Somebody got the initial CJT. Somebody was leaving their job, and not before time, on Friday the 2nd of April, 2004. Somebody had done the same job for 17 years.
What does that be?
As best they could.
Oh, well, struggling through.
Somebody eligible for all these but doesn't get any prize, apparently it's some sort of a joke.
But you're talking about a very serious business. I mean, I think it used to be a bit of a gentleman's club and people used to amble in and sort of put nice little tunes on, more or less whatever they fancy. And it's become terribly serious now. I mean, the profits involved in the commercial side of it are, you know, as much as an awful lot, or more than an awful lot of television stations. I mean, talking about Capital Radio, declared £22.9 million last year. I mean, that is serious money.
Chris Tarrant with his final breakfast show on Capital this week in 2004, after 17 years on air. It's 40 years this week since the official beginning of the famous Round Midnight Arts Magazine programme on Radio 2, hosted by Brian Matthew. The programme had started earlier in the year as The Late Show, or Around Midnight.
I'm going to reverse things a little bit roundabout here and introduce those responsible at the top of the show instead of the end, so you know who to blame. And that includes our executive producer, Steve Allen, producer in the studio with me, John Malloy, and Barbara Page, who produced our music, and the scriptwriter and researcher, Frank Salter. And I come right at the end of that lot. And me, well, I'm...
Brian Matthew!
He liked his namesake, didn't he? Brian began Round Midnight this week 40 years ago. And it's probably also worth mentioning that it was this week last year that his death was announced prematurely.
And we've just heard that the much-loved Radio 2 broadcaster Brian Matthew has died. He was 88. Brian Matthew was a pioneer of pop on BBC Radio in the 1950s and was still broadcasting regularly here on...
A remarkable BBC career. It began in 1954. He was on the Light programme, hosted the Saturday Club Easy Beat at a time when there wasn't much pop on BBC Radio, and it got huge audiences for those programmes.
Less than 3 hours later, the corporation issued a clarification. Brian did die 3 days later. It's 29 years this week since BBC Local Radio arrived in Wiltshire at last. It was one of those areas where commercial radio had come first, but station manager Tony Talmadge wasn't afraid of the competition.
Yes, but I believe that they have polarised to either ends of the radio spectrum, and that's leaving us a huge area of middle market to go for, and I believe that there is a demand in Wiltshire for relevant local radio, an intelligent speech based local radio with news and current affairs and traffic and travel information, weather, all the stuff of local life, and to be put into the context of national and world affairs. That's what we're all about here.
Don't you just love it when the journalist asks a tetchy question of their boss? Wiltshire Sound launching this week in 1989.
Also, we'll have for you the up-to-the-minute traffic and travel news, the most accurate weather forecast in Wiltshire, and the latest sports and financial news. Plus, of course, some great music.
The station was going to be Radio Wiltshire, but the commercial Wiltshire Radio down the road secured the copyright for the words Wiltshire and radio in whatever order. Talking of BBC Local Radio rebrands, this week, 12 years ago, BBC Radio Manchester reverted to its launch name after 18 years as BBC GMR.
On 95.1 FM, GMR News from the BBC.
Finally, 23 years ago this week, we lost Kenny.
Hello there. Does your radio sound like it's been strained through a wet sock full of kippers?
Or does it sound like the announcer's got a mouthful of sump oil?
Well, folks, you can cure this situation by tuning in to VHF.
Capital, 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 capital,
capital. Capital is London's only 24-hour stereo station.
Can you dig it?
So with the launch of County Sound 35 years ago,
after building our own radio station from scratch here in Guildford,
Wogan starting breakfast on Radio 2 46 years ago,
27 and a half minutes to 8, God help us,
BCR launching in Belfast 28 years ago,
the first voice in the BCR airwaves this morning was Rick Nugent,
the PM programme launching on Radio 4 48 years ago,
it's PM at 5 p.m.
And Choice FM launched in South London 28 years ago, the UK's first licensed black music station. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Did you spot Paul Chantler there on the launch of BBC Wiltshire Sound? And what a great bit from the archive as well of Chris Evans talking to Capital Gold's Tony Blackburn on GLR. Thank you, David and James and Roy, plus our guests this week, Danny and Rosie from Pulse One, and Talk Radio's Julia Hartley Brewer. Send us any comments or guest suggestions that you have for the podcast to news@radiotoday.co.uk. I'll talk to you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.